Dedication and Introduction of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. To Christopher Robin Milne, or, as he prefers to call himself, Billy Moon. This book, which owes so much to him, is now humbly offered. Just before we begin. At one time, but I've changed my mind now, I thought I was going to write a little note at the top of each of these poems, in the manner of Mr. William Wordsworth, who liked to tell his readers where he was staying and which of his friends he was walking with, and what he was thinking about when the idea of writing his poem came to him. You'll find some lines about a swan here, if you get as far as that, and I should have explained to you in the notes that Christopher Robin, who feeds this swan in the mornings, has given him the name of Pooh. This is a very fine name for a swan, because if you call him and he doesn't come, which is a thing swans are good at, then you could pretend that you were just saying Pooh, to show how little you wanted him. Well, I should have told you that there are 6 cows who come down to Pooh's lake every afternoon to drink, and of course they say moo as they come. So I thought to myself one fine day, walking with my friend Christopher Robin, moo rhymes with poo. Surely there's a bit of poetry to be got out of that. Well then, I began to think about the swan on his lake, and at first I thought how lucky it was that his name was Pooh, and then I didn't think about that anymore, and the poem came quite differently from what I intended. And all I can say for it now is that if it hadn't been for Christopher Robin, I shouldn't have written it, which indeed is all I can say for any of the others. So this is why these verses go about together, because they're all friends of Christopher Robin. And if I left one out because it wasn't quite like the one before, then I should have to leave out the one before because it wasn't quite like the next, which would be disappointing for them. Then there's another thing. You may wonder sometimes who's supposed to be saying the verses. Is it the author, that strange but uninteresting person? Or is it Christopher Robin? Or some other boy or girl? Or nurse? Or who? If I'd followed Mr. Wordsworth's plan, I could have explained this each time, but as it is, you'll have to decide for yourselves. If you're not quite sure, then it's probably who. I don't know if you've ever met Who, but he's one of those curious children who look 4 on Monday and 8 on Tuesday and are really 28 on Saturday, and you never know whether it's the day when he can pronounce his R's. He had a great deal to do with these verses. In fact, you might almost say that this book is entirely the unaided work of Christopher Robin, Who, and Mr. Shepherd, who drew the pictures. They've said thank you politely to each other several times, and now they say it to you for taking them into your house. Thank you so much for asking us. We've come. Alan Alexander Milne. End of dedication and introduction. Section 1 of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. Poems 1 through 11. Corner of the Street. Down by the corner of the street, where the 3 roads meet, and the feet of the people as they pass go tweet, tweet, tweet. Who comes tripping round the corner of the street? 1 pair of shoes, which are nurses. 1 pair of slippers, which are purses. Tweet, tweet, tweet. Buckingham Palace. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Alice is marrying one of the guard. A soldier's life is terrible hard, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. We saw a guard in a sentry box. One of the sergeants looks after their socks, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. We looked for the king, but he never came. Well, God take care of him all the same, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. They've great big parties inside the grounds. I wouldn't be king for £100, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. A face looked out, but it wasn't the king's. He's much too busy assigning things, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Do you think the king knows all about me? Sure to, dear. But it's time for tea, says Alice. Happiness. John had great big waterproof boots on. John had a great big waterproof hat. John had a great big waterproof Macintosh. And that, said John, is that. the christening. What shall I call my dear little dormouse? His eyes are small, but his tail is enormous. I sometimes call him Terrible John, because his tail goes on and on and on. And I sometimes call him Terrible Jack, because his tail goes on to the end of his back. And I sometimes call him Terrible James, because he says he likes me calling him names. But I think I shall call him Jim, because I am so fond of him. Puppy and I. I met a man as I went walking. We got talking, man and I. Where are you going to, man? I said to the man as he went by.
Don't know the village to get some bread. Will you come with me?
No, not I. I met a horse as I went walking. We got talking, horse and I. Where are you going, horse, today? I said to the horse as he went by.
Down to the village to get some hay. Will you come with me?
No, not I. I met a woman as I went walking. We got talking, woman and I. Where are you going to, woman, so early? I said to the woman as she went by. Down to the village to get some barley. Will you come with me? No, not I. I met some rabbits as I went walking. We got talking, rabbits and I. Where are you going in your brown fur coats? I said to the rabbits as they went by.
Down to the village to get some oats. Will you come with us?
No, not I. I met a puppy as I went walking. We got talking, puppy and I. Where are you going this nice fine day? I said to the puppy as he went by.
Up in the hills to roll and play.
I'll come with you, puppy, said I.
Twinkle Toes. When the sun shines through the leaves of the apple tree, when the sun makes shadows of the leaves of the apple tree, then I pass on the grass from one leaf to another, from one leaf to its brother. Tiptoe, tiptoe, here I go. The Four Friends. Ernest was an elephant, a great big fellow. Leonard was a lion with a 6-foot tail. George was a goat, and his beard was yellow. And James was a very small snail. Leonard had a stall, and a great big strong one. Ernest had a manger, and its walls were thick. George found a pen, but I think it was the wrong one. And James sat down on a brick.
Ernest started trumpeting and cracked his manger. Leonard started roaring and shivered his stall.
James gave the huffle of a snail in danger, and nobody heard him at all.
Ernest started trumpeting and raised such a rumpus. Leonard started roaring and trying to kick.
James went on a journey with the goat's new compass, and he reached the end of his brick. Ernest was an elephant and very well intentioned. Leonard was a lion with a brave new tail. George was a goat, as I think I've mentioned, but James was only a snail. Lines and squares. Whenever I walk in a London street, I'm ever so careful to watch my feet, and I keep in the squares, and the masses of bears who wait at the corners, all ready to eat the sillies who tread on the lines of the street, go back to their lairs, and I say to them, "Bears, just look how I'm walking in all of the squares!" And the little bears growl to each other,
"He's mine as soon as he's silly and steps on a line."
And some of the bigger bears try to pretend that they came round the corner to look for a friend. And they try to pretend that nobody cares whether you walk on the lines or squares. But only the sillies believe their talk. It's ever so important how you walk. And it's ever so jolly to call out, "Bears, just watch me walking in all the squares!" Brownie. In a corner of the bedroom, it's a great big curtain. Somebody lives behind it, but I don't know who. I think it's a brownie, but I'm not quite certain. Nanny isn't certain too. I look behind the curtain, but he went so quickly. Brownies never wait to say, "How do you do?" They wriggle off at once because they're all so tickly. Nanny says they're tickly too. Independence. I never did like, "Now take care, dear." I never did want, "Hold my hand." I never did think much of, "Not up there, dear." It's no good saying it. They don't understand. Nursery chairs. One of the chairs is South America. One of the chairs is a ship at sea. One is a cage for a great big lion. And one is a chair for me. The first chair. When I go up the Amazon, I stop at night and fire a gun to call my faithful band. And Indians in twos and threes come silently between the trees and wait for me to land. And if I do not want to play with any Indians today, I simply wave my hand. And then they turn and go away. They always understand. The second chair. I'm a great big lion in my cage, and I often frighten Nanny with a roar. Then I hold her very tight and tell her not to be so frightened. And she doesn't be so frightened anymore. The third chair. When I'm in my ship, I see the other ships go sailing by. A sailor leans and calls to me as his ship goes sailing by. Across the sea he leans to me. Above the winds I hear him cry, "Is this the way to round the world?" he calls as he goes by. The fourth chair. Whenever I sit in a high chair, for breakfast or dinner or tea, I try to pretend that it's my chair and that I'm a baby of three. Shall I go off to South America? Shall I put out in my ship to sea? Or get in my cage and be lions and tigers? Or shall I be only me? End of section one. Section two of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. Poems 12 to 22. Market Square. I had a penny, a bright new penny. I took my penny to the market square. I wanted a rabbit, a little brown rabbit, and I looked for a rabbit most everywhere. For I went to the stall where they sold sweet lavender. Only a penny for a bunch of lavender! Have you got a rabbit? 'Cause I don't want lavender. But they hadn't got a rabbit, not anywhere there. I had a penny, and I had another penny. I took my pennies to the market square. I did want a rabbit, a little baby rabbit, and I looked for rabbits most everywhere. And I went to the stall where they sold fresh mackerel. Now then, tuppence for a fresh caught mackerel! Have you got a rabbit? 'Cause I don't like mackerel. But they hadn't got a rabbit, not anywhere there. I found a sixpence, a little white sixpence. I took it in my hand to the market square. I was buying my rabbit. I do like rabbits. And I looked for my rabbit most everywhere. So I went to the stall where they sold fine saucepans. Walk up, sixpence for a saucepan! Could I have a rabbit? 'Cause we've got two saucepans. But they hadn't got a rabbit. Not anywhere there. I had nothing. No, I hadn't got nothing. So I didn't go down to the market square. But I walked on the common, the old gold common. And I saw little rabbits most everywhere! So, I'm sorry for the people who sell fine saucepans. I'm sorry for the people who sell fresh mackerel. I'm sorry for the people who sell sweet lavender. Because they haven't got a rabbit. Not anywhere there. Daffodowndilly. She wore her yellow sunbonnet. She wore her greenest gown. She turned to the south wind and curtsied up and down. She turned to the sunlight and shook her yellow head. I whispered to her neighbour, "Winter is dead." Water lilies. Where the water lilies go, to and fro, rocking in the ripples of the water, lazy on a leaf lies the late king's daughter, and the faint winds shake her. Who will come and take her? I will. Keep still. Sleeping on a leaf lies the late king's daughter. Then a wind comes skipping to the lilies on the water, and the kind winds wake her. Now who will take her? With a laugh she is slipping through the lilies on the water. Wait! Too late. Only the water lilies go to and fro, dipping, to the ripples of the water. Disobedience. James, Morrison, Wetherby George Dupree, took great care of his mother, though he was only three. James said to his mother, "Mother," he said he, "you must never go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me." James Morrison's mother put on a golden gown. James Morrison's mother drove to the end of the town. James Morrison's mother said to herself, said she, "I could get right down to the end of the town and be back in time for tea." King John put up a notice.
Lost, stolen, or strayed? James Morrison's mother seems to have been mislaid. Last seen, wandering vaguely, quite of her own accord, she tried to get down to the end of the town. 40 shillings reward.
James Morrison Morrison, commonly known as Jim, told his other relations not to go blaming him. James said to his mother, "Mother," he said he, "you must never go down to the end of the town without consulting me." James Morrison's mother hasn't been heard of since. King John said he was sorry. So did the Queen and Prince. King John, somebody told me, said to a man he knew,
"If people go down to the end of the town, well, what can anyone do?"
Now then, very softly, J.J.M.M.W.G.D.P. took great care of his mother, though he was only 3. J.J. said to his mother, "Mother," he said he, "you must never go down to the end of the town if you don't go down with me." Spring morning. Where am I going? I don't quite know. Down to the stream where the kingcups grow. Up on the hill where the pine trees blow. Anywhere, I don't know. Where am I going? The clouds sail by, little ones, baby ones over the sky. Where am I going? The shadows pass, little ones, baby ones over the grass. If you were a cloud and sailed up there, you'd sail on water as blue as air, and you'd see me here in the fields and say, "Doesn't the sky look green today?" Where am I going? The high rooks call, "It's awful fun to be born at all." Where am I going? The ring doves coo, "We do have beautiful things to do." If you were a bird and lived on high, you'd lean on the wind when the wind came by. You'd say to the wind when it took you away, "That's where I wanted to go today." Where am I going? I don't quite know. What does it matter where people go? Down to the wood where the bluebells grow. Anywhere. Anywhere. I don't know. The island. If I had a ship, I'd sail my ship. I'd sail my ship through eastern seas, down to a beach where the slow waves thunder, the green curls over and the white falls under. Boom, 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 on the sun-bright sand. Then I'd leave my ship and I'd land, and climb the steep white sand, and climb to the trees, the 6 dark trees, the coconut trees on the cliff's green crown. Hands and knees to the coconut trees, face to the cliff as the stones patter down. Up, 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 staggering, stumbling, round the corner where the rock is crumbling, round this shoulder, over this boulder, up to the top where the 6 trees stand. And there would I rest, and lie, my chin in my hands, and gaze at the dazzle of sand below, and the green waves curling slow, and the grey-blue distant haze where the sea goes up to the sky. And I'd say to myself as I looked so lazily down at the sea, "There's nobody else in the world, and the world was made for me." The 3 Foxes. Once upon a time, there were 3 little foxes who didn't wear stockings and they didn't wear socks, but they all had handkerchiefs to blow their noses, and they kept their handkerchiefs in cardboard boxes. They lived in the forest in 3 little houses, and they didn't wear coats and they didn't wear trousers. They ran through the woods on their little bare tootsies, and they played touch last with a family of mouses. They didn't go shopping in the high street shopses, but caught what they wanted in the woods and copses. They all went fishing and they caught 3 wormses. They went out hunting and they caught 3 wopses. They went to a fair and they all won prizes, 3 plum puddingses and 3 mince pieses. They rode on elephants and swang on swingses, and hit 3 coconuts at coconut shizes. That's all I know of the 3 little foxes who kept their handkerchiefs in cardboard boxes. They lived in the forest in 3 little houses, but they didn't wear coats, and they didn't wear trousers, and they didn't wear stockings, and they didn't wear socks. Politeness. If people ask me, I always tell them, "Quite well, thank you, I'm very glad to say." If people ask me, I always answer, "Quite well, thank you, how are you today?" I always answer, I always tell them, if they ask me politely. But sometimes, I wish that they wouldn't. Jonathan Joe. Jonathan Joe has a mouth like an O, and a wheelbarrow full of surprises. If you ask for a bat, or for something like that, he's got it whatever the size is. If you're wanting a ball, it's no trouble at all. Why, the more that you ask for, the merrier. like a hoop and a top and a watch that won't stop and some sweets and an Aberdeen Terrier. Jonathan Joe has a mouth like an O, but this is what makes him so funny. If you give him a smile only once in a while, then he never expects any money. At the zoo. There are lions and roaring tigers and enormous camels and things. There are buffalo bisons and a great big bear with wings. There's a sort of a tiny potamus and a tiny noceros too. But I gave buns to the elephant when I went down to the zoo. There are badgers and bidgers and bodgers and a superintendent's house. There are masses of goats and a polar and different kinds of mouse. And I think there's a sort of a something which is called a wallaboo. But I gave buns to the elephant when I went down to the zoo. If he tries to talk to the bison, he never quite understands. You can't shake hands with a mingo. He doesn't like shaking hands. And lions and roaring tigers hate saying, "How do you do?" But I give buns to the elephant when I go down to the zoo. Rice pudding. What is the matter with Mary Jane? She's crying with all her might and main. As she won't eat her dinner. Rice pudding again. What is the matter with Mary Jane? What is the matter with Mary Jane? I've promised her dolls and a daisy chain and a book about animals, all in vain. What is the matter with Mary Jane? What is the matter with Mary Jane? She's perfectly well and she hasn't a pain, but look at her, now she's beginning again. What is the matter with Mary Jane? What is the matter with Mary Jane? I've promised her sweets and a ride in the train, and I've begged her to stop for a bit and explain. What is the matter with Mary Jane? What is the matter with Mary Jane? She's perfectly well and she hasn't a pain. And it's lovely rice pudding for dinner again. What is the matter with Mary Jane? End of section 2. Section 3 of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. Poems 23 to 33. Missing. Has anybody seen my mouse? I opened his box for half a minute just to make sure he was really in it. And while I was looking, he jumped outside. I tried to catch him. I tried. I think he's somewhere about the house. Has anyone seen my mouse?
Uncle John! Have you seen my mouse?
Just a small sort of mouse, a dear little brown one. He came from the country, he wasn't a town one. So he'll feel all lonely in a London street. Why, what could he possibly find to eat? He must be somewhere. I'll ask Aunt Rose.
Have you seen a mouse with a waffly nose?
Oh, somewhere about. He's just got out. Hasn't anybody seen my mouse? The King's Breakfast. The King asked the Queen, and the Queen asked the dairymaid,
"Could we have some butter for the royal slice of bread?"
The Queen asked the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, "Certainly, I'll go and tell the cow now before she goes to bed." The Daisy Maid curtsied, and went and told the Alderney,
"Don't forget the butter for a royal slice of bread."
The Alderney said sleepily,
"You better tell His Majesty that many people nowadays like marmalade instead."
The dairymaid said, "Fancy!" I went to Her Majesty. She curtsied to the Queen and she turned a little red.
"Excuse me, Your Majesty, for taking of the liberty, but marmalade is tasty if it's very thickly spread."
The Queen said, "Ooh," and went to His Majesty.
"Talking of the butter for the royal slice of bread, many people think that marmalade is nicer. Would you like to try a little marmalade instead?"
The King said, "Bother." And then he said,
"Oh, dear me."
The King sobbed,
"Oh, dear me,"
and went back to bed.
"Nobody," he whimpered, "could call me a fussy man. I only want a little bit of butter for my bread."
The Queen said, "There, there." I went to the dairymaid. The dairymaid said, "There, there." I went to the shed. The cow said,
"There, there. I didn't really mean it. Here's milk for his porringer and butter for his bread."
The Queen took the butter and brought it to His Majesty. The King said,
"Butter, eh?"
and bounced out of bed.
"Nobody,"
he said, as he kissed her tenderly.
"Nobody,"
he said, as he slid down the banisters.
"Nobody, my darling, could call me a fussy man. But I do like a little bit of butter to my bread."
Hoppity. Christopher Robin goes hoppity, 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 hop. Whenever I tell him politely to stop it, he says he can't possibly stop. If he stopped hopping, he couldn't go anywhere. Poor little Christopher couldn't go anywhere. That's why he always goes hoppity, 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 hop. At home. I want a soldier. A soldier in a Busby. I want a soldier to come and play with me. I'd give him cream cakes, big ones, sugar ones. I'd give him cream cakes and cream for his tea. I want a soldier. A tall one, a red one. I want a soldier who plays on the drum. Daddy's going to get one. He's written to the shopman. Daddy's going to get one as soon as he can come. The wrong house. I went into a house, and it wasn't a house. It has big steps and a great big hall, but it hasn't got a garden. A garden. A garden. It isn't like a house at all. I went into a house, and it wasn't a house. It has a big garden and a great high wall, but it hasn't got a may tree. A may tree. A may tree. It isn't like a house at all. I went into a house, and it wasn't a house. Slow white petals from the may tree fall, but it hasn't got a blackbird. A blackbird. A blackbird. It isn't like a house at all. I went into a house, and I thought it was a house. I could hear from the may tree the blackbird call, but nobody listened to it. Nobody liked it. Nobody wanted it at all. Summer afternoon. Six brown cows walk down to drink. All the little fishes blew bubbles at the mayfly. Splash goes the first as he comes to the brink. Swish go the tails of the five who follow. 12 brown cows bend drinking there. All the little fishes went waggle-tail, waggle-tail. 6 from the water and 6 from the air. Up down the river, does a blue-black swallow. The Dormouse and the Doctor. There was once a dormouse who lived in a bed of delphiniums blue and geraniums red. And all the day long he'd a wonderful view of geraniums red and delphiniums blue. A doctor came hurrying round, and he said, "Tut, tut, I'm sorry to find you in bed. Just say 99 while I look at your chest. Don't you find that chrysanthemums aren't the best?" The dormouse looked round at the view and replied, when he'd said 99, that he tried and he tried, and much the most answering things that he knew were geraniums red and delphiniums blue. The doctor stood frowning and shaking his head, and he took up his shiny silk hat as he said, "What the patient requires is a change." And he went to see some chrysanthemum people in Kent. The dormouse lay there, and he gazed at the view of geraniums red and delphiniums blue. And he knew there was nothing he wanted instead of delphiniums blue and geraniums red. The doctor came back, and to show what he meant, he'd brought some chrysanthemum cuttings from Kent. "Now these," he remarked, "give a much better view than geraniums red and delphiniums blue." They took out their spades, and they dug up the bed of delphiniums blue and geraniums red. And he planted chrysanthemums, yellow and white. "And now," said the doctor, "we'll soon have you right." The dormouse looked out, and he said with a sigh,
"I suppose all these people know better than I. It was silly, perhaps, but I did like the view of geraniums red and delphiniums blue."
The doctor came round and examined his chest and ordered him nourishment, tonics and rest. "How very effective," he said, as he shook the thermometer. "All these chrysanthemums look." The dormouse turned over to shut out the sight of the endless chrysanthemums, yellow and white.
"How lovely," he thought, "to be back in a bed of delphiniums blue and geraniums red."
The doctor said, "Tut, it's another attack!" and ordered him milk and massage of the back, and freedom of worry and drives in a car, and murmured, "How sweet your chrysanthemums are!" The dormouse lay there with his paws to his eyes, and imagined himself such a pleasant surprise.
"I'll pretend the chrysanthemums turn to a bed of delphiniums blue and geraniums red."
The doctor next morning was rubbing his hands and saying, "Yes, nobody quite understands these cases as I do. The cure is begun. How fresh the chrysanthemums look in the sun." The dormouse lay happy. His eyes were so tight, he could see no chrysanthemums, yellow or white. And all that he felt at the back of his head were delphiniums blue and geraniums red. "And that is the reason," Aunt Emily said, "if a dormouse gets in a chrysanthemum bed, you'll find, so Aunt Emily says, as he lies fast asleep on his front, with his paws to his eyes." Shoes and stockings. There's a cavern in the mountain where the old men meet. Hammer, 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 hammer. They make gold slippers for my lady's feet. Hammer, 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 hammer. My lady is marrying her own true knight. White her gown, and her veil is white. But she must have slippers on her dainty feet. Hammer, 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 hammer. There's a cottage by the river, where the old wives meet. Chatter, 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 chatter. They weave gold stockings for my lady's feet. Chatter, 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 chatter. My lady's going to her own true man, youth to youth since the world began, but she must have stockings on her dainty feet. Chatter, 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 chatter. Sand between the toes. I went down to the shouting sea, taking Christopher down with me, for nurse had given us a sixpence each, and down we went to the beach. We had sand in the eyes and the ears and the nose, and sand in the hair and sand between the toes. Whenever a good nor'wester blows, Christopher is certain of sand between the toes. The sea was galloping grey and white. Christopher clutched his sixpence tight. We clambered over the humping sand, and Christopher held my hand. We had sand in the eyes and the ears and the nose, and sand in the hair and sand between the toes. Whenever a good nor'wester blows, Christopher is certain of sand between the toes. There was a roaring in the sky. The seagulls cried as they blew by. We tried to talk, but had to shout. Nobody else was out. When we got home, we had sand in the hair, in the eyes, and the ears, and everywhere. Whenever a good nor'wester blows, Christopher is found with sand between the toes. Knights and ladies. There is, in my old picture book, a page at which I like to look, where knights and squires come riding down the cobbles of some steep old town, and ladies from beneath the eaves flutter their bravest handkerchiefs, all smiling proudly, toss down gauges. But that was in the Middle Ages. It wouldn't happen now, but still, whenever I look up the hill, where dark against the green and blue, the firs come marching two by two, I wonder if perhaps I might see suddenly a shining knight winding his way from blue to green, exactly as it would have been those many, many years ago. Perhaps I might. You never know. Little Bo Peep and Little Boy Blue. What have you done with your sheep, Little Bo Peep? What have you done with your sheep, Bo Peep? Little Boy Blue, what fun! I've lost them, every one! Oh, what a thing to have done, Little Bo Peep. What have you done with your sheep, Little Boy Blue? What have you done with your sheep, Boy Blue? Little Bo Peep, my sheep went off when I was asleep. I'm sorry about your sheep, Little Boy Blue. What are you going to do, Little Bo Peep? What are you going to do, Bo Peep? Little Boy Blue, you'll see. They'll all come home to tea. They wouldn't do that for me, Little Bo Peep. What are you going to do, Little Boy Blue? What are you going to do, Boy Blue? Little Bo Peep, I'll blow my horn for an hour or so. Isn't that rather slow, Little Boy Blue? Whom are you going to marry, Little Bo Peep? Whom are you going to marry, Bo Peep? Little Boy Blue, Boy Blue, I'd like to marry you. I think I should like it too, Little Bo Peep. Where are we going to live, Little Boy Blue? Where are we going to live, Boy Blue? Little Bo Peep, Bo Peep, up in the hills with the sheep. And you'll love your Little Bo Peep, Little Boy Blue? I'll love you forever and ever, Little Bo Peep. I'll love you forever and ever, Bo Peep. Little Boy Blue, my dear. Keep near. Keep very near. I shall always be here, Little Bo Peep. End of section 3. Section 4 of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. Poems 34 to 44. The Mirror. Between the woods, the afternoon is fallen in a golden swoon. The sun looks down from quiet skies to where a quiet water lies, and silent trees stoop down to trees. And there I saw a white swan make another white swan in the lake. And breast to breast, both motionless, they waited for the wind's caress. And all the water was at ease. Halfway down. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom, I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. Halfway up the stairs isn't up, it isn't down. It isn't in the nursery, it isn't in the town. And all sorts of funny thoughts run round my head. It isn't really anywhere. It's somewhere else instead. the invaders. In careless patches through the wood, the clumps of yellow primrose stood, and sheets of white anemones, like driven snow against the trees, had covered up the violet, but left the bluebell bluer yet. Along the narrow carpet ride, with primroses on either side, between their shadows and the sun, the cows came slowly, one by one, breathing the early morning air, and leaving it still sweeter there. And one by one, intent upon their purposes, they followed on in ordered silence, and were gone. But all the little wood was still, as if it waited so, until some blackbird on an outpost yew, watching the slow procession through, lifted his yellow beak at last to whistle that the line had passed. Then all the wood began to sing its morning anthem to the spring. Before tea. Emmeline has not been seen for more than a week. She slipped between the two tall trees at the end of the green. We all went after her. Emmeline! Emmeline! I didn't mean, I only said your hands weren't clean! We went to the trees at the end of the green, but Emmeline was not to be seen. Emmeline came slipping between the two tall trees at the end of the green. We all ran up to her. Emmeline, where have you been? Where have you been? Why, it's more than a week. And Emmeline said, Sillies, I went and saw the Queen. She says my hands are perfectly clean. Teddy Bear. A bear, however hard he tries, grows tubby without exercise. Our teddy bear is short and fat, which is not to be wondered at. He gets what exercise he can by falling off the ottoman, but generally seems to lack the energy to clamber back. Now, tubbiness is just the thing which gets a fellow wondering, and Teddy worried lots about the fact that he was rather stout. He thought,
If only I were thin, but how does anyone begin?
He thought,
It isn't really fair to grudge me exercise and air.
For many weeks he pressed in vain his nose against the window pane, and envied those who walked about reducing their unwanted stout. None of the people he could see
is quite,
he said,
as fat as me.
Then, with a still more moving sigh,
I mean,
he said,
as fat as I.
Now, Teddy, as was only right, slept in the ottoman at night, and with him crowded in as well, more animals than I can tell. Not only these, but books and things, such as a kind relation brings. Old tales of once upon a time, a history retold in rhyme. One night it happened that he took a peep at an old picture book, wherein he came across by chance the picture of a king of France, a stoutish man, and, down below, these words, King Louis So-and-so, nicknamed the Handsome. There he sat, and, think of it, the man was fat. Our bear rejoiced like anything to read about this famous king, nicknamed the Handsome. There he sat, and suddenly the man was fat, nicknamed the Handsome. Not a doubt, the man was definitely stout. Why then, a bear, for all his tub, might yet be named the Handsome Cub. Might yet be named. Or did he mean that years ago he... might have been, for now he felt a slight misgiving.
Is Louis So-and-so still living? Fashions in beauty have a way of altering from day to day. Is handsome Louis with us yet? Unfortunately, I forget.
Next morning, nose to window pane, the doubt occurred to him again. One question hammered in his head. Is he alive or is he dead? Thus, nose to pane, he pondered, but the lattice window, loosely shut, swung open, with one startled, Ooh! Our Teddy disappeared below. There happened to be passing by a plump man with a twinkling eye, who, seeing Teddy in the street, raised him politely to his feet, and murmured kindly in his ear soft words of comfort and of cheer.
Well, well, allow me, not at all. Tut, tut, a very nasty fall.
Our Teddy answered not a word. It's doubtful if he even heard. Our bear could only look and look. The stout man in the picture book. That handsome king. Could this be he, this man of adiposity?
Impossible, he thought. But still, no harm in asking. Yes, I will. Are you, he said, by any chance His Majesty the King of France?
The other answered,
I am that,
bowed stiffly and removed his hat. Then said,
excuse me, with an air, but is it Mr. Edward Bear?
And Teddy, bending very low, replied politely,
Even so.
They stood beneath the window there, the King and Mr. Edward Bear, and Handsome, if a trifle fat, talked carelessly of this and that. Then said His Majesty,
Well, well, I must get on,
and rang the bell.
Your bell, I think, he smiled. Good day,
and turned and went upon his way. A bear, however hard he tries, grows tubby without exercise. Our teddy bear is short and fat, which is not to be wondered at. But do you think it worries him to know that he is far from slim? No, just the other way about. He's proud of being short and stout. Bad Sir Brian Botany. Sir Brian had a battle axe with great big knobs on. He went among the villagers and blipped them on the head. On Wednesday and on Saturday, but mostly on the latter day, he called at all the cottages, and this is what he said.
I am Sir Brian.
Tingling.
I am Sir Brian. Rat-tat. I am Sir Brian, as bold as a lion. Take that, and that, and that.
Sir Brian had a pair of boots with great big spurs on, a fighting pair of which he was particularly fond. On Tuesday and on Friday, just to make the street look tidy, he'd collect the passing villagers and kick them in the pond.
I am Sir Brian. Splash. I am Sir Brian. Splosh. I am Sir Brian, as bold as a lion. Is anyone else for a wash?
Sir Brian woke one morning, but he couldn't find his battle axe. He walked into the village in his second pair of boots. He'd gone 100 paces when the street was full of faces, and the villagers were round him with ironical salutes.
You are Sir Brian? Indeed. You are Sir Brian? Dear, dear. You are Sir Brian, as bold as a lion. Delighted to meet you here.
Sir Brian went on a journey, and he found a lot of duckweed. They pulled him out and dried him, and they blipped him on the head. They took him by the breeches, and they hurled him into ditches, and they pushed him under waterfalls, and this is what they said.
You are Sir Brian, don't laugh. You are Sir Brian, don't cry. You are Sir Brian, as bold as a lion. Sir Brian the lion, goodbye.
Sir Brian struggled home again, and chopped up his battle axe. Sir Brian took his fighting boots and threw them in the fire. He's quite a different person now he hasn't got his spurs on, and he goes about the village as B. Botany, Esquire.
I am Sir Brian? Oh no! I am Sir Brian? Who's he? I haven't got any title. I'm Botany. Plain Mr. Botany. B.
In the fashion. A lion has a tail, and a very fine tail. And so is an elephant, and so is a whale. And so is a crocodile, and so is a quail. They've all got tails. But me. If I had sixpence, I would buy one. I'd say to the shopman, let me try one. I'd say to the elephant, this is my one. They all come round to see. Then I'd say to the lion, why, you've got a tail. And so is the elephant, and so is the whale. And look, there's a crocodile. He's got a tail. You've all got tails like me. The Alchemist. There lives an old man at the top of the street, and the end of his beard reaches down to his feet. And he's just the one person I'm longing to meet. I think that he sounds so exciting, for he talks all the day to his tortoiseshell cat, and he asks about this and explains about that, and at night he puts on a big wide awake, so as not to go to sleep, hat, and sits in the writing room, writing. He's worked all his life, and he's terribly old, at a wonderful spell which says,
Lo and behold, your nursery fender is gold.
And it's gold, or the tongs, or the rod for the curtain. But somehow he hasn't got hold of it quite, or the liquid you pour on it first isn't right. So that's why he works at it night after night, till he knows he can do it for certain. Growing up. I've got shoes with grown-up laces. I've got knickers and a pair of braces. I'm all ready to run some races. Who's coming out with me? I've got a nice new pair of braces. I've got shoes with new brown laces. I know wonderful paddly places. Who's coming out with me? Every morning my new graces. Thank you, God, for my nice new braces. I can tie my new brown laces. Who's coming out with me? If I were king. I often wish I were a king, and then I could do anything. If only I were king of Spain, I'd take my hat off in the rain. If only I were king of France, I wouldn't brush my hair for aunts. I think if I were king of Greece, I'd push things off the mantelpiece. If I were king of Norway, I'd ask an elephant to stay. If I were king of Babylon, I'd leave my button gloves undone. If I were king of Timbuktu, I'd think of lovely things to do. If I were king of anything, I'd tell the soldiers, I'm the king. Vespers. This poem, being in the library of the Queen's Doll's House, is printed here by special permission. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on the little hands the little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. God bless Mummy. I know that's right. Wasn't it fun in the bath tonight? The cold so cold and the hot so hot. Oh, God bless Daddy. I quite forgot. If I open my fingers a little bit more, I could see Nanny's dressing gown on the door. It's beautiful blue, but it hasn't a hood. Oh, God bless Nanny and make her good. Mine has a hood and I lie in bed. I'd pull the hood right over my head. And I shut my eyes and I curl up small. And nobody knows that I'm there at all. Oh, thank you, God, for a lovely day. And what was the other I had to say? I said, bless Daddy, so what can it be? Oh, now I remember. God bless me. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on the little hands the little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. End of section 4 and end of When We Were Very Young by A.A. Milne. This book was read by Matthew Soanes.